Everybody, welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing good, Adam. How you doing, Bubba?
I'm not doing as well as I was a second ago after someone just called me Bubba. Now, Daniel, was that a term of an endearment where you grew up?
Yeah, you know, you just meet a friend, on the streets. You might be like, "How you doing, bub? How you doing, Bubba?" It's just I don't know. It's like a.
Bub has a different connotation because Bubba was something used in my experience. It was kind of like antagonistic. You know, it's like, "What are you doing over there, Bubba?" Like, yeah. Better watch yourself, there, Bubba. Which basically meant you're a dumbass, and also I'm gonna punch you.
You could definitely throw a tone on it that might. Start one of the fisticuffs, you know. There might be, you could throw some toot on it.
Well, we do have someone to rescue our audience from us two dumb bubbas. We have the intelligent, the suave, the one and only Brady.
What's up, bubbas?
Hey, Brady.
How you doing, Brady?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing good.
Well, the last chapter we read together was quite a doozy. I mean, it wasn't really. We just had Jacob screwing his sons in favor of his grandsons.
Just a good old Jacob hijinks there.
Yeah, doing the hokey pokey of blessings.
Brady, have you done anything exciting since the last episode?
Oh boy, let me tell you. No. However, I will say I ended my Christmas vacation a little bit early because I came back to do stage combat with broadsword training.
Ooh.
Yeah. So right before school started, I was fighting with broadswords for like a week.
That sounds awesome.
It was amazing.
Like it would make your arms hurt.
It was, and it did. Yeah, it was fun.
You get some sweet trapezoids. Trapezoids. some sweet triceps. That's what I was aiming for. I'm so familiar with human anatomy and muscle growth.
I could tell, yeah.
I often confuse muscles for shapes.
Yeah, no, my trap game is pretty strong. So
you know what, Adam? There's something I meant to mention on the last episode. I had a weird thing happen to me the other day.
Shoot,
I was staying away from my house one day. I got up real early to go to work.
You were staying away from your house.
I was. So, hold on. I got up really.
Oh, I thought meant like I'm trying to stay away from my house because. Someone didn't want you to come back.
I was planning to sleep over at my girlfriend's house the other night.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
God wouldn't be happy about that, Daniel.
Well, separate beds, of course.
Of course, yeah, naturally.
Yeah. Naturally. Anyways, I got up really early one Thursday morning, and it was chilly over here in Los Angeles. Like, it was a little chilly that morning. And I took me a shower, and I turned on my little space heater that I got in my bathroom. It's attached to the wall and it's really old, but it heats up the bathroom real nice in the morning while you're getting ready. But you got to make sure to flick that thing off when it gets hot because it'll get toasty, you know. Kind of forgot and left it on from Thursday morning until about, I don't know, 6 or 7 Friday afternoon.
And these are one of those open coil heaters. It's just like a glowing heat element inside of your wall, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those.
Cool.
And something, the craziest thing happened. Not only did I feel like I was in danger of burning the apartment down and the whole apartment building, it warped it got so hot in that bathroom that it warped the door to an extent that it will not close. it's like it changed the structure of the wooden door. It wouldn't shut.
Awesome.
And so I had to like finagle it closed. I couldn't go tinkle in privacy is what I'm saying. Because I couldn't get it to close. But thankfully the Lord, you know, bless me with his right hand.
You finally did something that made wood swell up.
But after it acclimated to the cold, the door came back to its original shape, thankfully. But what sucks is I'm moving out of this apartment in a week, and I thought I'd just ruin the whole deposit by turning my door into a curly Q, you know. But I'm doing great. I'm an adult who's holding it together.
I'm proud of you, Daniel. Yeah, isn't it amazing when you come across something that was designed in the 50s, and it's like, oh, people were expected to be much more capable.
Well, I'm supposed to remember to flick switches off.
Boys, I wanted to give thanks to the only credit I can find on this track is John Deere / Smoky Mountain Inspirations. But it's a bluegrass cover of Amazing Grace we used today.
And it's real funky.
Can you give me that name just one more time?
John Deere, : Smoky Mountain Inspirations.
Oh, yeah, that's the good stuff.
You know, it sounds like someone was getting smoky on the mountain before they wrote that title.
They probably were.
Well, let's jump on into Genesis chapter 49, the next to last chapter of Genesis, the first book of the Bible.
The penultimate chapter.
Anytime I hear that word penultimate...
I didn't know what that word meant until, like, 6 months ago. And I have, you know, a master's degree, so. I was like, yeah, penultimate. What? It means next to last. Oh, cool.
My problem with that word is I do know what it means if I think about it for, like, 10 seconds. I'm like, is that the next to last, or is that the next to last?
I only know it from people reviewing television, television series. Mm-hmm. Because they'll say the penultimate episode. It's one of those where I was like, ooh, I can use this word and sound smart, but I never officially learned it. Like,
right, yeah.
I just overheard it used in one context.
I was like, it sounds like it's a really important word, and I'm going to use it. And I'm sure that if I ever did in the past, it was definitely not in the right context.
Check out this little penultimate right here.
Whoa!
I got a pen with a head chopper on top of it. That's a real penultimate.
Sorry, all you listeners who can't see it, but it is fantastic.
So this is it, boys. Genesis 49, out of the World English Bible, the W.E.B. Jacob's about to die. From what I can gather, Jacob's about to die, so he's gathering all his sons to give them blessings.
As you do.
Yeah.
Here we go. Jacob called to his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which will happen to you in the days to come. Assemble yourselves and hear, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father." Here he goes. He's going to start with Reuben. Reuben, we know because he's the one who's been saving people, right?
Well, I remember Reuben as... the one brother who didn't necessarily want to kill Joseph.
That's right.
He was gonna try to save him from the well, but that didn't work out at all.
"Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. Excelling in dignity and excelling in power. Boiling over like water, you shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then defiled it.
Time out.
He went up to my couch."
Hold on. I want to take a quick pause. The scene that's being painted in my mind is like your dad's dying, and he's like, come to me, my firstborn, so strong, so powerful. You will not excel! Because of what you did to my couch when I was out of town.
You're so beautiful. Fuck you. Yeah, I love this. I love how it changes perspective. At least in my Bible, it changes perspective from you shall not excel because you went up to your father's bed, then defiled it. And then it's like he turns to everyone else. He went up to my couch. See what he gets. And Quest Bible explain how he defiled it? Did he spill some seed on it? What happened?
This is a small throwaway story that I don't blame us for not remembering. If you think a while back in the Bible, Jacob had a concubine named Bilhah.
Oh, yeah. And
Reuben, he bedded Bill Haw one day.
On the couch?
And Jacob was none too happy about it. So he's, wow, he's held this resentment of Reuben having sex with his concubine up until his deathbed.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, is that he's clearly been holding this grudge for some time and has waited until now to be like, guess what? You're exiled! You're done!
Well, there's more where that came from.
Pass them out. Let's do it.
With verse 5, we're going to talk about Simeon and Levi, and those are our two friends who murdered everyone in that town on your first episode.
My Brady. Favorite chapter of the Bible, yeah.
Yes, indeed. So, verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Great.
All right, thanks, Dad.
All right, Pop, we got it. We know, yeah.
Their swords are weapons of violence. My soul, don't come into their council. My glory, don't be united to their assembly. For in their anger they killed men. In their self-will they hamstrung cattle. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel.
Oh, man.
Man. I don't know if I want a blessing.
No, this is. Yeah. This
I hope
is
Dinah rough. Isn't there.
Yeah.
Or Dina.
Yeah, this is rough.
So I look. I didn't know what it was to hamstrung cattle or to hamstring cattle. Apparently, that's when you just cut a hamstring to disable something. So, yeah. You know, just for fun, they cut some cows' hamstrings. Like, yeah. All right, cool, guys. So I can understand old Jacob being like, screw them. And I guess he's going to separate them? He's going to, like, spread them out?
The best I can figure, anytime, because it comes up a few other times, anytime it says that somebody will be scattered, I think, from what I can tell, it means that their family line is going to be, like, muddled. It's going to be kind of, it's going to kind of go away. Meaning,
kinda
like
you might have had some concubines and things got a little murky.
Yeah. It's kind of like sense. If you look on the side of the Jim Beam bottle, if you ever drank in you some Jim Beam, it shows the family lineage of the Beam family.
I bet that lineage is free of controversy all the way back through the 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, no, 1700s. So it's not good. Anyways, the Beam name is lost eventually. You know, it's the family, whoever's running it now is no longer a Beam. It's like it starts with an N or something. I don't know. I drink a lot.
All right. I'm going to pick up with Judah. Judah is the one who's been kind of taking charge, I guess. He's the one who's like, I'll be responsible for Benjamin.
Also,
so take me as a slave instead.
A small side note. When he's doing this, he's also knocking these boys down off of their, like, inheritance. They're not necessarily going to be like, you know, just because Reuben's the firstborn, I don't think he's getting any firstborn rights anymore. From what I'm reading.
He's really using his dying breaths to be mean to his sons.
Which is all that we can hope for in life, am I right, guys?
Yeah. That's I can't imagine anything else happening. Very rarely do I notice people getting nicer as they approach death.
Yeah, that's true. That's
at least from old age.
Right. Rather.
I've mentioned it before, but I can guarantee I will be a miserable old man to be around.
I can't wait.
All right, so pick it up with verse 8.
We all agree.
Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as a lioness. Who will rouse him up? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The obedience of the peoples will be to him, binding his foal to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be red with wine, his teeth white with milk.
What?
Clearly, Jacob has just lost it at this point. He's like, wouldn't it be nice to have red clothes and milky teeth?
Jude is the number one boy right now, is what it sounds like.
Sure seems like it. As long as you assume that having your eyes red with wine is a good thing.
I would be a little scared if my eyes are all of a sudden red.
That sounds fucking terrifying.
If your eyes are red with wine and your teeth are white with milk, your toilet is going to be...
I don't know. Maybe he can handle lactose, you know. Maybe he's fine.
Do you know any insight into what binding the foal to the vine is?
No, I had... Honestly, I had trouble with Judah when I was researching. The Quest Bible says, why did Jacob describe his sons as animals? So, I don't know. There wasn't much there. The Quest Bible doesn't...
Is this
really...
like in the way that your lineage will be spread? They're like, but your lineage will be tied to a tree, and you're going to be all good, unlike your brothers, who I just cursed in front of you.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the gist of it.
Yeah.
And also, he's kind of like the third in line, I guess, at this point, and so now bumped up to the front of the line. I don't know. The best I could figure is, like, he's a big fan of Judah. Judah's good boy.
Yeah, number one boy right now. I'm kind of, because I didn't do my homework and I didn't read this beforehand, so... I'm interested to see where these blessings kind of fall, because clearly he's in the number one position.
Clearly Jacob was all out of breath after his blessing to Judah. And next comes Zebulun. So verse 13, Zebulun will dwell at the heaven of the sea, or the haven of the sea. He will be a haven of ships. His border will be on Sidon. All done! you go to the water.
Zebulon's like, nothing about my eyes or my teeth, Dad? What's going on? Come on.
I don't know. I think you're just glad to get out before he's like, and also your feet will be eels.
It's just good, yeah. Get out of there before some bad happens. Just take
your nose will be as brown as the dirt.
All right, cool, Dad. I'll go be the ocean man.
Thanks, Pa. I'll be the sea captain.
Zebulun is a name I've heard given to like sea captains in fiction. Not really. I'm just trying to start a conversation. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Is Zebulun like a watery name?
I mean, if I met a sea captain and he said, "Hello, I'm Captain Zebulun," I would be like,
"You'd
all
be
right.
Like, am I in a Final Fantasy game right now?"
Like, you're damn right. Your name is Zebulun. Look at you.
He's like, I'm not getting on this boat because we're going to go on a long adventure where I have to fight monsters or something.
Here's verse 14. Isaacar is as strong as a donkey, laying down between the saddlebags. He saw a resting place that it was good, the land that it was pleasant. He bows his shoulder to the burden and becomes a servant doing forced labor.
Whoa! Damn.
Yeah, this is a scatter shot. You can get anything at this moment.
So I think Judah's number one. Zebulun is coming in like it's not great, but he's not gonna be a forced laborer. So I feel like he's maybe at two.
I think he's gonna be wealthy too. If he's a haven for ships, he's gonna be running that trade. He's good. And Isaacar is as strong as a donkey, so he'll basically be a donkey.
I've got news for you, my son. You're an ass. You'll always be an ass.
Coming up on verse 16, we have what I'm most interested in. Ooh. Dan.
Yeah. Let's see what happened to old Dan. We ain't heard from Dan in a while.
Yeah.
Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a serpent on the trail, an adder in the path that bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backwards. I have waited for your salvation, Yahweh.
What the fuck does that mean?
Jacob is losing it. But is this the first time we hear Yahweh, too? Or at least in one of our translations? Because Yahweh is the name of God, right?
Yeah, well, that's actually not in my translation. It's, I look for your deliverance, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard Yahweh.
So Daniel, this really rings true for me. I'm going to just start calling you Dan because you're definitely an adder in my path.
What? You saying I'm nipping at your
heels? Knocked me right off of my horse. Before I knew you, Daniel, I was a stand-up guy.
Are you saying that I've turned you backwards and made you tumble?
Yeah, not in like the cooperative gymnastics way.
Not like that cheer documentary that's on Netflix.
Oh, wait. So this is continuing with Dan, I think. This is weird. I don't know what this is. This is after talking about Dan. Verse 19 says, a troop will press on God, but he will press on their heel.
No, I think that's one of his sons, Gad.
Gad? Oh, Gad.
Yeah. See, in the new, I hate to get back to like looking at different versions of the Bible, but in the New International Version, the way they make it easier sometimes is it's written, Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. I mean, they just kind of like straighten up the language a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's an okay blessing. It's very specific to like one thing. Like,
yeah, like what about the rest of my life?
He's like, nope, you only get one insight. Band of raiders. Go for the heels, son.
Asher's food will be rich. He will produce royal dainties.
Delicacies?
Stupid? What is that word?
Delicacies?
I mean, that's what I'm assuming it means, but I have D-A-I-N-T, dainties.
Oh, I've got delicacies. But yeah, dainties, delicacies.
Dainty. Something good to eat, a delicacy. I've just never heard that used before.
I'm going to, every time I eat a little sweet treat, I'm going to call it a dainty from now on.
excuse me, may I see your dainty menu, please?
I love little dainties. 21, verse 21. Naphtali is a doe set free who bears beautiful fawns.
All right. Two sentences.
But Pop, I'm a boy.
You're a beautiful doe, Naphtali.
I'm guessing Naphtali's a boy just because it said sons earlier. And mm-hmm. Women don't seem to get blessings, yeah. Which may or may not be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you want one of these that he's handing out necessarily.
Yeah, at this point, if I'm like Dinah, which is the only other daughter I remember, I'm just like, fine, whatever. It's like, it'd be nice to be recognized, but I mean, the other guy, you know, he's forced labor and all that. I don't want that.
Well, finally, with verse 22, we get to Joseph. Hmm. Joseph is a fruitful vine by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers have severely grieved him, shot at him, and persecuted him, but his bow remained strong. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of your father, who will help you, by the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessing of the deep that lies below. Blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of your ancestors. Above the boundaries of the ancient hills, they will be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him who is separated from his brothers. All right.
Well, as we expected, all good things for Joseph, you know.
Sure, yeah. And the rest of his brothers are just like, fuck this guy. And his coat.
Yeah. Where is that? I want a new coat for Joseph.
It was never mentioned.
It was mentioned in the very beginning. He had an ornate coat, is what it said.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm thinking at the end of the musical where he gets another fancy coat.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Is that how it ends?
I think he does. I'm going to say he does.
He definitely does.
Well, picking up with chapter 28, I'm just going to read through this real quick, finish out the chapter. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their fathers spoke to them and blessed them. He blessed everyone according to his own blessing. He instructed them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite as a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and I buried Leah, the field and the cave that is therein, which was purchased for the children of Heth. When Jacob finished charging his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and breathed his last breath and was gathered to his people. So that's just a long verse where he's like, remember this cave? Yes, we remember it. Remember what happened in the cave? Yes, we remember it. Remember several verses ago when I put Leah in the cave? Yeah, we get it. The cave's important. This was definitely, whoever owned the land that this cave was on when the Bible was being written was like, hey, make sure you mention this cave a lot. I got like a tourism business to run over here.
Yeah, it's like, look, it's 20 shekels a pop to get these people to come down into this cave.
And then he pulls his little legs up into the bed. I like to picture him giving him a nice hug and then passing away.
Well, Yoda in Star Wars died a very similar way. He it's actually kind of a weirdly long scene. He like crawls up into his little hole there, and he lifts up his little Yoda legs and he puts them down, and then, and then he does much like Jake. He talks for like
one
another
thing to say.
Yeah, he goes on for like 10 minutes before he dies.
But that's it. That's the death of Jacob.
Adios, buddy. See you later.
I was talking to Daniel before we started recording how stupid I was to not make the connection that the 12 tribes of Israel were going to be the descendants of the man named Israel. Well, we're running a little long on this one, so I guess we should jump into ratings. I'm going to go ahead and say that this chapter is a giraffe. Yeah, it's a great chapter. I like all these terrible, weird blessings. This is my favorite kind of Bible stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see this particular chapter turn into some sort of like movie or play. Just like a nice scene. I think it paints it pretty well. With a dying man and his sons around, and he's just like flinging out crazy, you know, prophecies at them. You'll be a judge, and you're a snake, and you're a lion. My God, look at you. We're going to tie your donkeys to a tree. This is amazing.
Okay.
Can I play Judah?
Yeah.
I want to be the good boy. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
We'll write the skit just like SNL used to do, the Sarah Palin stuff.
It's not a skit, it's a play. At the very least, it's a sketch.
So, I'm sorry, how do you quantify giraffes again?
Yeah, I'm a little confused by the rating.
I'm just going to give this one 4 out of 5 giraffe spots. And you can give it 4 out of 5 whatevers. Or give it however many whatevers out of whatevers you want.
Brady?
I give it 3 asses tied to a tree out of 3 asses tied to a tree.
This one's tough. I don't know. I've become a huge fan of Jacob because I think he's like the example of what every parent should be to a kid with all the like, you know, criticizing that he does all the, like, throughout his whole life, we've known him to just constantly criticize his sons. So I feel like he's taught all parents for all time. You know, he's like the example to go by. So that being said, and because I'm Dan, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 adders.
Nice.
All right.
Solid.
Well, that's great. We're almost done.
that was the penultimate chapter of Genesis.
Yeah. Brady, you got anything to plug?
I'll steal that acting one class. I could use a couple more people in there. That'd be great.
What about you, Daniel? You got anything to plug?
My offer still stands to all the listeners. Just send us some feedback to @hostedpod on our Instagram. Just send them one of those old DMs.
You don't know if that offer still stands. It could be that we got 10 DMs immediately.
Yeah.
And you're all sold out.
Oh, you're right. Well, anyhow, if we're not sold out, DM us anyways, and I'll DM you back to tell you whether or not you get one of those sweet Reading Heathens tokens. And also, if it blows up and everybody wants one, well, then you're probably going to get to buy one. You can give us some money. You can give us some straight up some cash, and then I'll make you one. $50 a pop.
That's a good deal on that.
Look, I want to apologize to the listeners for the audio quality of my microphone. I've noticed something is bad with it, and it's likely going to be that way through the end of Genesis. And also, I want to apologize to the listeners for Daniel. just in general. Email us, hostedpod@gmail.com. Send us that DM on Instagram @hostedpod. Brady, would you like to be on the final episode of Genesis?
It would be the greatest honor of my life.
Well, I'm happy to bestow it upon you. We'll see you next episode then. Bye-bye.
Bye.